Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. Good job, Andrew. Let's move out to our SDCCU fan hotline, talk a little Padres baseball with our good friend Mark Sweeney here on 97.3 The Fan at the All-Star break. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Chris, T. Gwynn, how are you guys? I'm doing great, thanks.
We are good.
How was your break been? I mean, did you get one?
You know it, buddy. We needed one bad, didn't we? And yeah, it was great. I took the family over to Palm Springs for a couple days, and I'm all refreshed and ready to go.
Sweet. What do you think about the Padres? Refreshed, ready to go. How much does that three-game sweep in L.A., does that do them some good going into the second? I got to believe it really does. I mean, I know it doesn't help you actually win a game, but it puts a really positive thing in your head going into the second half.
Yeah, Chris, it does. I think it was the good and the bad. Obviously, we had the Giants at the home series that was really disappointing. Then you lose the first one in L.A. You're like, man, this could get ugly because you're playing the Dodgers and how good they've been. So to be able to get those last three, to pitch as well as they did, that's a good sign moving forward. I do say this. They have to be much better at home. And that's the reason why that Giants series was kind of like a head-scratcher for me. But good taste in their mouth going into the All-Star break, and I think that bullpen really needed some.
Okay, Swain, give me a pitcher and one offensive guy who you think is poised to have a good second half here.
Let's see. Pitcher, I would say I'm going to go with Joey Lucchese because he's been excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's taken that next step in that progression that we all look for. I think he is starting to feel better on his arm side command, which I think is pretty important. I think he really always had that glove side command that opens that stuff up. But to me, I think Joey Lucchese on the pitching side. Offensive, I want Franmil Reyes to have that second half that he had last year, especially when he went down to Triple-A, had to make some adjustments. I'd like to see Franmil, not that he had a bad first half, obviously the home run power is there, but I'd like to see his RBIs come into a middle-of-the-order bat, and I know he can.
Mark Sweeney is with us on the SDCCU fan hotline talking a little Padres baseball here at the break. Obviously, Padres back in action tomorrow night right here on 97.3 The Fan. They will host the Atlanta Braves, kick off a three-game weekend series. Mark, what do you like best about the Padres heading into the second half, and what do you like the least, or what concerns you the most, I guess would be a better way to ask it, heading into the second half?
Chris, I think it's a great question. We're looking at the position that they're in right now. And I said it when we finished our post-game show after the 500 record. I think everyone, and I'm sure there's probably fans that wanted a better record, but I think all of us representing and doing what we do on air, a 500 record at the All-Star break, we would have all taken it.
Yeah.
It's just the way they've really gotten there. And I think the surprise has been the starting rotation and how well they've done to a point where they're getting that opportunity to feel like, hey, this is where we have to make a push. That being said, I think the next 2 weeks are pretty important to showcase to the front office what they're trying to do and what they can do at the trading deadline. I know they're going to try to get some of those controllable players, but that's something that I think is going to be hard to do at times because I think other organizations know they want to go that direction as well. So your second part of the question, I think the tough thing is going to be if, you know, what happens with Paddock.
Yeah.
Chris Paddock is going to be the guy that how long do they go with him? How long can he go? And coupled with that, you know, is there an innings limit where it's going to hurt them on this stretch drive?
Sweeney, you know, you bring up the starting pitching, and Denelson Lamet made his season debut against the Dodgers. I thought he looked really good for a guy who hadn't pitched in a big league game in about a year. But that also pushes somebody out of the rotation. The Padres have technically seven starters up at the big league level right now. As it pertains to Matt Strom, do you see him long-term as a starter, or do you see him going making that move back to the bullpen?
I'd like to see him at the bullpen level, and why I say this is that, you know, Tony, there's weapons in the game that are dominating weapons, yeah. And I feel like Matt Strom can be that guy. I'm much like a Josh Hader. I'm not going to put him in that category because Josh has done that and actually taken it where he can finish games. I think Matt Strom's that good in a sense of he has the ability to up the ante a little bit, and it looks like he is throttled back, in my opinion, as a starter. The stuff is still there, but it's not empty in the tank. And I think that will allow him to be able to do that, add a little more velocity with his fastball, which I think comes into play with, as you know, the discrepancy of the fastball and the changeup. If you start getting it into 93, 94, 95, where he was last year, then you throw that changeup off that. I think that's the challenge for hitters. And if it's 91, 92 fastball, it's an easier adjustment, in my opinion.
Mark, let me ask you a little bit about Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't know what's left to say about this young guy, except for the fact that we're going to love talking about him and watching him play for hopefully a long, long time here in San Diego. Today, ESPN did an article that named him the most exciting player in the game. That's quite an honor for a 20-year-old. And it also gives the Padres a little national recognition in a city where people don't think the Padres get any national recognition. What are you hearing through your baseball circles? What are people asking and saying to you when they talk about Fernando Tatis Jr.?
You know, guys, I thought it was really cool how, and I don't know if you saw it on social media, the Mike Trout thing, saying about
about
how exciting he was from Mike Trout's mouth. I mean, that's saying high praise when you know this is a guy in the American League, and yes, he's down an hour away, maybe an hour and a half away from the Angels, but I don't think he gets to watch him too much, and he knows how important Fernando Tatis is to the game. This young man is putting himself and this team in that recognition where they're going to start writing articles not only on him, but they're going to start watching Franmil Reyes because they're watching him. Right. They're going to watch Hunter Renfroe. They're going to watch everybody else because of Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. So it goes into the thought process, I think, of this organization, and it's a really good one. Of you knew you had a star in the making. I don't think all of us knew it was going to be this quickly, but I think it's one of those things that you're going to see Fernando Tatis Jr. bring more recognition to this club than they anticipated this early, and I think it's a really cool thing. That's how good he is, and I love watching him play because – when I was over the railing, and Tony knows this, when you're over a railing and you're that close to the game, but you also know the guy in the locker room and you know what he's doing inside the locker room, and then he proceeds to show how smart he is in the game, you start marveling and you go, man, I can't believe I get to watch it this close. I'm not that close, but I feel like I'm watching a guy that's just going to be an all-star for years to come.
Mark Sweeney, Fox Sports San Diego, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Mark, I appreciate your time. I want to get one more in before we let you go. Talk a little bit about how preparation changes from first half to second half. Obviously, you get past the break. You know you're coming down that stretch run here. How does the preparation change?
Yeah, T, it does. I think more of it from the pitcher side of our starters going to have their in-between bullpen sessions. Some of them cut them off. I've always watched that, which I thought was probably smart in the sense of just, you know, realizing there's only so many bullets they're going to have in a year. From the other perspective, of the everyday player perspective, I think it's just routine, but you might want to back off a little bit and make sure you have those days where you have the ability to step back and look at the game, but also know, you know what? What I did in the month of December, January, and February, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And it's a good feeling to know, whether you're a bench player, whether you're an everyday guy, or whether you're a platoon guy. This is the best time of the year. This is when you have that second wind, and here it comes. So it's exciting. I'm glad the Padres are in that position, and hopefully they can get off to a really good start, because this could be a tough challenge with the Atlanta Braves coming in. This is a team that I think is probably a year advanced than the Padres are,
yeah,
because of what they did last year and the veterans and also the young players that they have that are budding superstars as well, Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies. So I'm looking for that. I'm looking forward to that series. And this is going to be a good one starting tomorrow night.
It's going to be a good second half, lots of fun. And Mark Sweeney does a terrific job. Love listening to you. I love when you get the games. I mean, I love Mark,
Thank you.
I love when you get the games, Mark Sweeney and Mark Grant and all the guys at Fox and Tony Gwynn Jr. And you guys are on my TV about 20 hours a day between games and POV and pre-games and post-game. Can't get enough of you, Mark. Thanks
Grant,
for your time as a host.
I didn't know we bored you enough of that. But,
no, I watch it over and over again. That's how crazy my life is. Thanks, Mark. We'll see you around at the ballpark. Mark Sweeney right there talking a little Padres, getting us ready for the second half.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
I love the fact that you were looking at that and brought it up on air. Because I was like, Chris is not paying.
You've never once replied.
You haven't replied in a long time. You used to
reply. Once in a while, I throw something in there, but you guys are having a good time, and I'm trying to look at other stuff, and then the little comments drop down the top of my phone.
Keeps blocking your
read. Blocking my view, yeah.
It's pretty funny, because we were going at it this morning. It
oh,
was a
yeah.
good one.
It was a long one.
And that's Bob Uecker, right, in our open? Is that?
I wasn't listening close enough.
Okay.
Was it Bob?
We got hosed on that one.
That's
oh,
Bob.
Yeah, that's
Uecker,
Bob.
For sure.
Well,
Bob.
I'm pretty sure that today is the 30-year anniversary of Major League being
the
released.
The best baseball movie ever.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Most people think it is.
Let me say this. It is closest to a real
true
locker room and things like that.
Least, I would agree with that.
At least back in that time it was.
It's pretty good. My favorite baseball movie, just for fun, is Bad News Bears. And I know that that's
like
not
Bad News Bears too.
Realistic, but that's still a very funny.
The Billy Walter Bob Mathau. Thornton one?
No, not even. That was pathetic. The Walter Matthau version with Tatum O'Neal,
yes,
way back in the day. Bad News Bears, very funny movie. But Major League, you're right, probably the most accurate. A lot of people go with Field of Dreams.
A lot of people like that one.
Baseball movie.
It just when that movie came out, having been in a locker room, I got everything that
you got
was going
a kick
on
out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I did.
Because
even though it was rated R, I probably should have been watching it.
It interests me that you found that, because it's kind of like I'm very tough to please when it comes to sports movies, because I feel like I have some insight already. So when something isn't real or makes sense, it catches my eye right away.
What was that? Came out 89, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yep. I was only seven when it came out. So
you were watching that at seven?
You know, we didn't have a lot of rules when it came to movie. I just knew I couldn't repeat none of the things that were being
said.
Was
it Rene Russo in that movie?
She was.
Oh yeah,
indeed,
I'm surprised you can't remember.
Indeed, she. Well, I didn't know none of their names at the time. I knew she was good looking.
Yeah.
All yeah.
Right. Number five.
What about Rookie of the Year?
No.
The kid breaks his arm.
No, that's stupid.
That's exactly
what about Little Big League? I know we've already been over this. We're going to move on.
Another
Boogie
one.
Cousins.
By
is,
the way, you know the thing that I enjoyed as I got older with that Major League movie is that it's not actually played in Cleveland. It's played in Milwaukee. I could recognize stadiums by dugouts a lot
I didn't
of times.
Know that.
So they would go to certain stadiums. I'd be like, wait, that's not Cleveland?
That was County Stadium in Milwaukee.
County Stadium, yes.
Very similar to Cleveland Stadium, but it was all filmed in Milwaukee.
Huh. I had no idea. I love
it. Cleveland Municipal? Was it what it used to be called?
Cleveland Municipal Stadium and Milwaukee County Stadium were the old stadiums in those two towns.
I love Joe Boo. He's my favorite.
I saw a game in each of those stadiums. The one I saw at County Stadium in Milwaukee was during a lightning storm that knocked out the scoreboard.
That's the best part, best line of that movie. You mean to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
There's so many good one-liners in that movie. We could talk about Major League all day long. Number five, Boogie Cousins is happy to be a Laker and happy to be healthy. I knew this was going to get Tony's attention. He said today he is aiming to play all 82 games next season. He said, quote, I'm working my tail off every single day. My quad is 100% healed. I'm building it up every day. I'm getting stronger, getting in better shape. My plan is to come into camp in tip-top shape. My goal is to play 82 games this season, end quote. Tony, how many games do you think Boogie Cousins will play?
I don't think it'll be 82. I think they'll manage him a little bit more, but he looks in unbelievable shape, like right now. I haven't seen him this thin ever in his life. I haven't known him that long, but I'm just saying, haven't seen too many pictures of him this thin. And he said all the right things during that interview. He said, hey, I don't care if I start. It's up to the coaching staff. He didn't have any demands. Seems like a guy who's been humbled over time because of injuries. And I honestly think he's going to be a huge pickup for the Lakers. So, number of games, I'm going to go with 70.
70, okay. Chris, what do you think? How many games is Boogie going to play this year?
I really have no idea, but I think that Tony hit on something there. I think a humbled Boogie Cousins can be a tremendous lift for the Lakers. But the old Boogie Cousins, who's full of himself, is going to hurt the Lakers. So I'm hoping that you get the humbled Boogie Cousins. And if you do, then that has a chance to really be a key part of what the Lakers are trying to do this year. He'll play 60 games. 65.
I'll take that.
And then again, he could play 30.
I won't take that.
I know. Because, I mean, he's he got hurt twice in the finals, didn't he? Basically.
Oh, you almost.
No, he got hurt once in the finals. Well, he didn't get hurt in the finals. He got hurt in the playoffs.
Before the finals. Yeah. But then he looked hurt in the finals.
He did.
He did.
So, all right. That's cool. A tough one, Scraby.
Yeah, no, I know. But I wanted to give you guys a tough one to start out. And I can't believe I forgot this. The Big Five is brought to you by Eco Water Water Systems. Eco Water Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at Eco Water. That's ecowatersd.com.
Yeah, you forget about them. They're gonna drop you as a sponsor.
I know. I know. That's why I had to fit it in.
Get it in there.
Get your mind right, son.
If you need something to feel good about this afternoon, then the Kansas City Royals have you covered. They officially announced today that they are promoting outfielder Bubba Starling to the majors ahead of their second half kickoff on Friday versus the Detroit Tigers. Starling will be 27 next month, and he is best known for being the number 5 pick in the loaded 2011 draft. He was, past tense, one of the 3 players chosen in the top 30 who hadn't yet reached the minors. Starling was selected ahead of the Lakers. Majors, yes, thank you. Starling was selected ahead of the likes of Anthony Rendon of the Nationals, Francisco Lindor of the Indians? Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, and Javier Baez of the Cubs, among other stars. Chris, would you give a guy 8 years to make his debut in your organization?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I respect this guy for continuing to battle and continuing to work. I mean, again, we can go back to what we talked about earlier. I mean, I've been on the buses in the minor leagues with all those players, and I appreciate how hard these guys, many of them, how hard they work just to get a chance to someday make it. And I would think that if you're going into your 8th year and you still haven't made it, you probably start thinking that's never going to happen. But yet you still lace them up every day and go out and play hard just on the off chance that you'll get a shot. So, of course I would keep a guy in my organization. I don't have a time limit. I hope this guy comes up and you know, does some damage, because that would be really a great story.
I was going to ask, is he a bust? But I have a feeling that your answer would be, we don't know yet.
We technically don't.
Okay, so that's why I asked.
Because look, we don't. They named some of the stars on here, right? You know, Anthony Rendon, Francisco Lindor, Javier Baez, and all but 3 of them have made it to the big leagues. But we don't know who stayed, who had a cup of coffee, went back down.
Good point.
So you can't really call him a bust yet. To answer your question, yes. First of all, he's the number 5 pick overall. You give first rounders, they get a lot more leeway, a lot more time than most guys do. I tip my hat to him too, because most first rounders that go through something like this, they usually fall apart pretty quick, because the expectations is so high. You're expected to be there. And then when you look across and you see 27 guys who were in the first round all get a piece of it at some point, and you not having that yet, that could be discouraging. So 8 years in, he's still pushing. Tip my cap to a guy like that, because eight straight years without even a taste of the big leagues, whew, you got to be motivated to be in the minor leagues doing that.
Yeah. Would you say it would be unlikely for him to live up to a fifth pick?
At this point, probably. I mean, he could have a tremendous career from 27 to the end of his career, which we could change that. But if everybody else has reached the big league level, you would have to say, you'd have to say so, with the exception of him.
Number three.
LeBron James excels at all five positions, but the Los Angeles Lakers head coach Frank Vogel slowed the rumors the three-time NBA champion is going to start a point guard next season. He said, quote, "Everybody sort of pieced together our starting lineup. There are no decisions made on our starting lineup," Vogel said while he was at the Las Vegas Summer League last night. And he went on to say, quote, "No imminent plan to start LeBron at the point guard spot. A lot of different lineups and combinations have been discussed, but it's really way too early for any of that," end quote. On Monday, Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes reported that the Lakers were headed into the new season with the intention of starting LeBron James at the one. Tony, do you think the report is false, or is Frank Vogel backtracking?
I got to get on my soapbox about these reports again, because I saw one on Bleacher Report the other day. About Russell Westbrook wanting to actually have been traded before. And how that came up was because somebody on The Jump said, you know, I had heard that. And so it became an actual, like, story on Bleacher Report from basically I heard. Now, if you guys saw Frank Vogel's face when he was answering these questions, he was almost like, I don't know where you got that from, but that is not true at all. And we haven't even thought about it yet, which makes sense considering we're in July. Mm-hmm. They haven't even gotten to the point where they've even completed their whole roster yet. So I think the story's false. Not to mention LeBron James has pretty much played point guard his entire career. So this wouldn't have been anything that was new, in my opinion.
Chris?
I don't think it's true, because I don't think it's going to happen. I think... What is the quickest way to wear out LeBron James? Make him dribble the ball up the court 100 different times a night?
I think he does that.
Dribbles it up?
Yes.
I think he takes the ball in the front court. I don't see him taking the ball from out of bounds and bringing it in the front court every single time.
The difference is that he's got a guard. That's what's going to tire him out. It ain't the dribbling up the court. It's having to guard Russell Westbrook, well, Chris Paul, whoever the point guard is.
They could try to wear him out a little bit by putting some full court pressure and just making him dribble up against that all night long. I wouldn't expose him to that. I mean, I can run my offense through LeBron, but I cannot see LeBron James as the starting point guard, especially when I got a Rondo on the ball club already. It seems like it would just tilt the whole thing out of whack. So I agree with you, too, on your soapbox about your little rant about these people just making stories up and just, I mean, where do you, I mean, what did the, you know, the water guy or something tell you that,
what did you tell
thinking
me?
About going with LeBron as a starter, and then that you're allowed to write a story on that?
Would you tell me you used to have two sources?
Two.
Bleacher Report basically heard him say, I heard that he wanted to be traded, and that was the source.
Well, because yeah. They get clicks.
That's where we are now.
Yep,
I mean, you know what? I'm gonna not be a get off my lawn guy.
No, you can be.
You can, because journalism is at an all time low right now.
It is,
in my mind. I really believe it is, because it's all about clicks and it's all about getting people to go wow. But it's never about
even if
being
it's,
right.
Even if it's not 100% truth or accurate.
100% doesn't even have to be 10%.
I'm the guy who falls for all that stuff.
You sure
all
do.
All the time.
You fall for the banana in the tailpipe all the time.
I sure do.
You know, the guy who had that happen to him in that movie, Beverly Hills Cop, was John, and I can't remember his last name, the actor who played that role of the heavyset cop.
Yeah, yeah.
Who had the banana in the tailpipe. But I interviewed him before at one of those celebrity golf things. John Ashton. He's a very nice guy. He was the actor who played that. He was in a celebrity golf thing, the Drew Brees celebrity thing. They brought him over, and all I could ask him was about the banana in the tailpipe thing, and he was just laughing the whole interview.
All right, Houston Astros outfielder Jake Mariznick was suspended two games on Thursday for his collision with LA Angels catcher Jonathan Lucroy last weekend before they went to the All-Star break. Lucroy was hospitalized after suffering a concussion and a broken nose in the collision at home plate, and He was, like I said, suspended the two games. Here is Joe Torre talking about it. He said, quote, after thoroughly reviewing the play from all angles, I have concluded that Jake's actions warrant discipline. While I do not believe that Jake intended to injure Jonathan, the contact he initiated in his attempt to score violated official baseball rule 6.01i, which is designed to protect catchers from precisely this type of collision, end quote. Chris, do you think this was a proper punishment?
I do. We talked about it about a week ago. You asked me what I thought would happen, and I said I thought he'd be suspended. I didn't know how many games. That's up to Joe Torre to figure all that out and what it compares to other things. But a suspension had to come down here to get the message to all the rest of the players that even if you don't mean to run over the catcher, you can't run over the catcher. Like, personally, I don't mind a game in which you can have a collision, that because I'm not the catcher. I don't have to take the collision.
Right.
I thought baseball was okay when you had some fun home plate collisions, but now that it's not part of the game, then you have to put a suspension down.
Tony?
Yeah, no, I agree.
You agree?
I think Mrazek deserved the suspension. I don't think he was trying to hurt LaCroix there, Jonathan LaCroix, but he did. And
yeah,
you can't run over guys anymore. And it didn't help that it almost looked like he went out of his way to do it. And I believe him when he said he initially thought it was going to be the outside, tried to get to the inside, but it just can't happen no more. Period.
Number one.
Madden 20 is set to come out soon, and the Madden 99 Club has been slowly revealed over the last couple days. The club is reserved for four players this year that will have a perfect rating of 99. Players selected so far, the Rams defensive lineman Aaron Donald, Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner, Bears linebacker Khalil Mack. Tony, who would be your fourth perfect score?
Oh my gosh.
They have one determined, they have not revealed yet.
So 99, tell us
99
tell
rating.
Us people that are in my yes. generation that know of Madden but don't really understand what a 99 means.
The 99 means you are the best player in the game because everything that you do is really good.
Like at the top
your speed, your vision, your agility, all that stuff, your
and
stamina.
Picked, and basically it sounds you named the three guys, right?
They're already picked as 99ers.
Okay, but it's Mack, Wagner, and
Aaron Donald.
So two linebackers and a defensive tackle.
Yes, no offensive players yet. So, Tony.
Interesting.
This pains me to say it. It pains me to say it.
Don't say the one I was going to say, because I can only think of one.
That's all I can think of that is deserving of it, I think. It's Tom Brady.
He's the best player in the whole world. How can he not be a 99? He's 97-year-old
Tom Brady.
He's the MVP of the league every single year. How can he not be the best player at his position
and
in Madden?
There's a formula to it, too. So his is not going to be easy because he doesn't have any speed. It's going to have to be like a 99 vision, 99 accuracy. He's not going to have 99 power for an arm.
Speed is not good.
So I don't know how they're going to get the formula, but he's probably the fourth.
Who would you take? The speed of what's his name? Jackson in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Oh, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Would you take his speed or Tom Brady's all-around ability?
Definitely Tom Brady's all-around ability.
All right. Taking the GOAT. For question. He's the best player in like the history of the sport. How can he not be a 99?
Thomas and I were talking about this before the show, and we both said that Tom Brady, he even says Tom Brady is not the 99er. Who do you think is the
99er, Thomas?
It's probably going to be Patrick Mahomes because of such a good season he had and the way Madden likes to push the cover boys.
Like to push the cover boys, but they very rarely will give a 99 to a second-year player.
He's a third-year player.
Oh, yeah. Technically. That might change it, actually.
Well, he gets a 99 when it comes to looking one way and throwing the other, but he doesn't get 99 when it comes to winning the Super Bowl.
His arm slot is at 99. We said
what?
This name.
You know, you don't play Madden if you just said arm slot.
No, I know.
Is at 99.
I know. This name is highly controversial, but he was really the only person I can think. Tyreek Hill. It's just too much bad PR.
I don't know about that. I don't know that he's the best player at his position. There's a lot of great wide receivers in the league. He's one of them.
It's bad PR because they've already announced the other three. If they just try to sneak this one in there, people would go crazy.
I'm actually really interested to see who the fourth player
is. I'm interested, too, now that we brought it up.
But, you know, the NFL, Network is doing its top 100 player countdown of the year, which they do every year.
Yeah. Who's going to be upset this year?
Tom Brady's number one every single year. I mean, I don't see how you
That's because you have football guys picking that, though. You have actual
Jimmy
dudes.
Jesus, number
He'll
one.
Be like an 86.
An 86?
He hasn't done anything.
That hurts. Big Five brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water from drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, really, really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. I think if Jimmy G drank some EcoWater, he wouldn't have torn his ACL last
I think
year.
The truth still sets you free, is what I think. We're going to step away, take a break. Second half, Padre baseball starts tomorrow. Second half of our show is coming up as well. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, enough about that.
Enough about that. We'll talk about it a little bit as we go along, but Lacey Henderson is in studio, the U.S. Paralympian. Been on the program before, but not on a day I was here, so I'm glad to be sitting in. Lacey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again for a second time.
Yes, well, you can walk out any time if Tony calls you Lacey Hernandez again. So
I couldn't even say it the first time for whatever reason. It's been one of those days.
I totally get it. But tell us what you're up to. There's competitions this weekend in San Diego for you, and you are a long jumper?
Yep.
That's incredible.
Back in town. We have a couple of competitions popping off. I don't know, I guess a lot like basketball modern day, track and field seems like a season that never ends. We're actually in the heat of competition now. Just competed at San Diego Mesa College, and this Saturday we'll be at the Chula Vista Olympic Training Center.
Fun.
Yeah, you know, just getting that work done.
Lacey, last time you were here, you were training, right?
Yes.
You weren't competing.
No.
Is there a difference between training time and in like go mode like you're in right now? Is there any different eating habits or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like training like in February when I was here last, it's just heavy volume. It's a lot more fun as far as eating because you just like keep
just eat.
Eating forever.
That's one reason to be. That's one reason to be a track
to
athlete. Yeah, so you can eat all the time.
You got that heavy volume training, and you're like just survive.
Then I must be training for the track and field all the time.
Yeah, you're killing
considering
it.
How much
you guys
food
are really
I
heavy
eat.
Loading. Yeah. Just really lift. Yeah,
we don't do any of the exercising.
Oh, that's
the problem. Yeah.
Oh, that's the missing. That's the missing piece. Yeah. So this time of year, it's just like. It's a lot more like minimal input for maximal output type stuff. So just, you know, like a little less eating, a little less heavy lifting, but just like a lot of fast twitch, a lot of just quick explosive type stuff and hopefully good marks. This year we have it's a Pan American year as well as a World Championship year. However, we're going to Dubai for World Championships.
What?
So,
sweet.
That's on my bucket list, by the
really
way.
Really cool. Really hot place, though. So we're not going until November. So it's like, this is like the marathon season right leading up to 2020. So,
Lacey, it's an unbelievable story. I mean, you wanted to be an athlete and then lost your leg. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you stuck with being an athlete and were able to overcome this kind of this thing? I mean, I don't want to call it a disability because you've obviously turned it into an ability.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, as far as like my parking spot, fully disabled. But other than that, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I forgot to tell you how funny she is, by the way.
Oh, you know. Well, speaking of funny, so I come from a track and field family. My dad went to Olympic trials for pole vault. Like low-key psychopath about track and field. So he loved track so much. My brother's name is Trax on his birth certificate. My middle name is Fields. So track.
So he was obsessed.
Like, yeah,
with
there
track.
Was, and like, so out of the two of us, like one of us had to make it. And I was diagnosed with cancer, lost my leg, so we were like, all right, clearly Trax is going to be the athlete. But like an M. Night Shyamalan type twist. my brother is an amazing athlete, but like didn't love it. And I grew up. I fell in love with the world of competitive cheerleading. I didn't start track until I was graduating college at the University of Denver, where I had an athletic scholarship for cheerleading as well, randomly. Okay. And just kind of like took, I started pole vaulting because, like, again, only my family would just like conveniently have like a pole vault pit and poles just readily available to just
Most families
your dad was a psychopath with it, so maybe that's why.
Got him in the garage, baby.
I thought it was gonna, you were going to say it was in the living room, but okay.
Oh, you come on, be realistic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your brother's name is Trax, so I'm not being that
worse.
Realistic.
It could have been like a hockey coach. Like, my name could have been Helmet for all like intents and purposes. So honestly, I won that lottery. Just started to track, fell in love with the feeling of pole vaulting, of flying, kept Googling amputee pole vault, couldn't find anything, kept getting rerouted to the world of Paralympics, which is really interesting. I feel like, especially now, years later, because Paralympics is slowly regenerating more, more transparency, I would say, like in the sports world, because I didn't know anything about it. My dad... my dad's 73. He's like old school. He's like, no special stuff. Like, I don't want you doing any special stuff, Lacey. So I didn't know about para. I thought it was something like different and special, and I didn't want to be a part of it until I did my first race and I got my butt kicked by a bunch of girls.
You realize it was a
no
real
legs.
Deal. Then.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, they're not playing.
Yeah.
So just having a competitive background, I'm like, this is not how my story ends. So trained, qualified for the London Games for my first race, and then went to trials, got my butt kicked again. Didn't make the team. So again, I'm like, this is not how this ends. So I started long jumping in 2013. I broke a 17-year-long American record. And since then, turns out my gymnastics background has really translated well as far as the horizontal jumps are concerned. Mm. So it's just been kind of a fun ride. I'm just seeing where it takes me. 2020 is next year, and I'll be 31 at that point, and I think, like, after the games, I might be ready to transition into real adulthood, but my Peter Pan...
No, take your time.
...lifestyle's been kind of fun, to be honest.
Sure.
Do it as long as they allow you
that's
to
right.
do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
You guys started on Wednesday. You guys already had some events going on.
Yeah,
yeah. How did Wednesday go?
It was good. It was, like, it's cool because San Diego does a San Diego USATF Summer Track Series, so there's a lot of universities just in this area that that have really good facilities. So we kind of took Wednesday as, like, a training session. It's, again, like, we're going so late in November, so this is still relatively early in the season for me, so... had some good stuff on the runway and some things to work for Saturday. So, you know, it went okay.
How far, if you don't mind me, how far do you long jump? You said you broke a 17-year-old record. How far is that?
That was, well, my personal record now is 4.04 meters. So that is about, oh my God, I can't do this complex math. I don't know, maybe 14 feet, 15 feet.
I always think of the meter sticks they always had in class. So you about four of those.
It's three,
four
yeah.
of those, okay. 16.
Yeah, exactly. 16. That is exactly what that is.
That's nice job, Tony.
Yeah.
I didn't know you're such a mathematician.
You know, I try.
That's good. 16.
I can't
feet,
speak any
amazing.
English, but I try, you know.
And how far could I long jump with two good legs? No way, 16 feet, right?
Chris, I don't want to speak on behalf of your athletic
Please speak
ability.
About my athletic ability. I mean,
but, you
I'm,
know,
I'm
like,
too slow to be a long jump.
You got
to
actually gain
gotta
some
be
speed.
Fast.
You
got to
rip
exactly.
up a little speed. Yeah, my long jump is more like a broad jump, even with a run-up, because I'm moving so slowly.
Like a standing broad jump?
Yeah, it's a standing
You're
broad jump.
You're just strategically
anyway.
Placing yourself in a good
right.
position.
That's all I
Slow,
try to do.
Just, you know.
That's great. What is the toughest thing about competing and the toughest thing about just being part of this whole process, the Paralympian thing, and just what's the most fun part of it as well?
I'd say the most difficult part is just like in any other sport, I'd say it's the mental game. I think as far as disability is concerned, everybody thinks like you have the odds stacked up against you, but it's in an ironic way in para because then you're placed in categories where the field is level more or less, and you're always going to face adversity no matter you got one leg, two legs, no legs, whatever the scenario. So you got to work with what you got, and being able to do game time decision making, just being able to be flexible in a strategic and good way when it counts is probably the biggest asset you can have, because you know your body will just do what it's trained to do. That's why in February you can eat and train and do all those things, so that in June, July, you know, you don't have to. You can kind of go on autopilot as far as that. And as far as like the most fun and exciting things, I would say just the travel. I remember when I made my first world team, it was just it's cool. It's really cool to be able to get that uniform and know that you get to represent. The home squad USA in different countries.
I was
going
to say, that's what I was thinking would be like the coolest thing would be to put USA jersey on.
100%. 100%.
I mean, that's like, that's the top.
It's
right
like,
there.
I made it, Mom.
Lacey Henderson joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. Lacey, you came in last time and you left such an impression that I started to follow you. And you're a really good follow on Twitter, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
Could you give your Twitter handle
out there? My Twitter handle is at Lacey's Your Friend. My Instagram is Lacey is Your Friend. I got a Twitter. I just had my 10-year twit anniversary.
I just had mine not too long ago either.
Yeah, and that
you
was
guys
bad.
Are both 10-year twits?
A decade of tweeting.
Right. A decade of twits.
That's good.
Tell me a little bit about your podcast, because that seems to be really jumping off.
Yeah,
it's a good podcast, too, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, the social media thing kind of developed into this new project. It's called I've Got a Show. It's a podcast on literally every podcasting platform available out there. And then we have a YouTube video series called Picked Last in Gym Class. And I'm the host, and we take literally anybody. We have comedians, artists, former athletes, current athletes. We got everybody. And a lot of it is just conversations of struggles before success. A lot of jokes, a lot of laughing. A
lot of jokes.
Yeah, and it's just been, a fun project. The most recent episode we had a cheese plate gal, so I learned how to, you know, like assort a cheese plate, which is very important now in my millennial life, to have that in my artillery.
Once you assort the cheese plate, bring it in, we'll eat it.
Yeah, you know what, nobody ate actually after we did that production. Everybody's like lactose, gluten, no, none of this stuff. But
not
you know,
me, you can bring it
on
my way.
I was like, go ahead and throw that my way.
That's so funny that your podcast is picked last in gym class, because we just did an interview a week and a half ago with Manny Machado, one of the greatest athletes on the planet, right? So at the end of the interview, remember I asked him, I said, were you ever picked last, like as new guy in the school or something? And he looked at us and laughed.
Me? Like, literally
He's
never.
Like, I'm Manny Machado.
That's
like,
almost exactly what he said. Like,
almost
no,
identical,
that's never happened.
Exactly what he said, right? No, that's never happened to me. And I figure it's happened to everybody in one way or another. You go to a new place, a new school, you're a little kid, you're picked last.
Yeah, no one knows you. They don't know you. Yeah.
How did you come up with the name? Pick
you
last
know,
for gym class.
I would love to take credit for that name. I had a production company approach me about coming up with a show, like what names I'd want, and actually my producer came up with that name. My feelings are a little hurt because it's so clever. It's such a good it's such a good name. But yeah,
it is good.
Ultimately, that was the best name.
It is really
I wish
good.
It was a better story. But
all
it's
right,
a great
so
name.
You're going to...
At least you're honest about it. You're going to... I showed up with a camera. Like, yeah, I came up with that at the house, and, you know, it was, had something to do
yeah,
with
yeah, we would have believed
it
you.
It speaks to everybody.
We would have believed you. We would have believed you. Lacey Henderson is our guest in studio, USA Paralympian in the long jump, one of the best in track and field. Where do you stand going into the World Championships in November in terms of like a ranking, or do they have such things?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, as far as world rankings, I haven't looked at the list right now, but I think as far as world rankings, I'm probably top five.
That would be fun to look at a world ranking list in any category
in
and see my name.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time. Yeah, it's really fun to check it early in the season when people haven't jumped yet. And you're like, number two, baby. And then,
that's
you know, later
awesome.
In the season, you're like, all right, top 10 school.
So who's like your top competition? Is there like some European athlete?
Yeah.
Who,
oh, like, yeah. Italy like rolls deep. We have a really strong Italian competitor, a German competitor.
Okay.
You know, the United States is such a crazy, like right now we have kids coming in from the NCAA system. We have such an insane talent pool just of like volumes of kids that are just insanely athletic. But I would say the Europeans do a really good job of developing athletes, especially in like disabled sports. I think that there's just a little bit more space and a little bit more history as far as those countries. And, you know, we're slowly on the come up, but yeah, right now, honestly, like this Italian girl is definitely like, she's the one, she's the Usain Bolt.
Uh-oh. Oh,
all right.
Of single leg amputees, of female amputees. Well,
nothing wrong with you taking her down.
Yeah,
that's
take
right.
her down. I'm going to get a little personal right now. One of the things that I have followed through Twitter and Instagram is you have a love interest in your
I
life.
Do.
He's
I
here
do.
With you, too.
Yes, I brought him along for this trip. Yeah, track is crazy. So there's a lot of times I'm out of town and on the road. And, you know, we're like, why not just have a little week trip to San Diego? So I brought Josh along with
smart.
Me.
Smart.
Work/vacation
type
thing.
Yeah, a little work, a little play, a little sunshine, hang out at the beach a little bit. It's all good.
That's what's up.
She could have picked another place for you to have to go, Josh. So San Diego's not
yeah,
bad.
We could have, you know, maybe next time it'll be Albuquerque if you play your cards.
Oh, the
right.
Kirk.
I can tell you how fun that is.
I spent many times there.
Hey, Lacey, I wanted to ask you real quick before we move on. I mean, I'd like to keep you here all evening, but what would be your advice? I mean, this is kind of probably a question you've gotten a million times, but I mean, for a young disabled athlete who wants to get into that, wants to compete at, and maybe even get to the level that you've been able to get to, where do you go? Where do you turn? And how do you get there when you're maybe at your darkest point in your life? And you say to yourself, no, I'm gonna make the best of this situation.
Yeah.
I mean, A, you were able to do that. B, what is your advice to young people that might be struggling to do that?
Yeah. I guess I, more than anything, it would be reach out, ask for help, and create a network, create a community, a village. Because, you know, any single athlete can tell you it takes a village. Like, it's a whole team effort just to have one shining star. And as far as disabled athletics go, I would say disability is weird. It's the biggest minority in the whole world. It's like one out of every four people have some sort of disability. But at the same time, it's a really isolating experience. So often, people who have disabilities are the only people in their community that are, you know, the girl with one leg, the girl in a wheelchair, the guy, whatever. And it can be really isolating. So I think a lot of times just, and people in general, I feel like whenever you feel like you're the only one carrying any sort of badge, that you have to do it on your own. And that's not the case. Track and field is funny because it is a solo sport. I come from team sports, but it really does. It takes a team effort. And San Diego has amazing resources for anybody in the disability community, not just local but also nationally, to get involved with groups like Challenge Athletes Foundation, which is headquartered here. Google is a great tool to start and to see what not only like what is available to you, but what you're passionate for. I think so often people with disabilities find sports that fit whatever their disability is, but you really, like, it's any sort of professional athlete, like, this is it's an endurance event, so you have to make sure that you're passionate about it and you need to do it in a healthy way that can be sustainable over time if you really do want to take it all the way.
How long have you been competing now?
I've been competing now for about 8 years.
Any wavering of that passion in those 8 years?
Oh, absolutely.
I said that because a lot of people think that once you're passionate about something,
you wake up every day and
you're just
like,
yeah, let's do this. And that's just not the case.
No, I mean, it's unrealistic. And there's definitely, that's why like off season is so important. Like, you got to unplug from that matrix.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or, you know, that's your job every day. There definitely needs to be time where you like let go of the gas and kind of regroup and step away from it. I think that anything 100% go, go, go all the time, like that's you're going to run out of gas. So
burn out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's real.
Man, this whole thing is amazing. Lacey Henderson is with us. She's one of the top five ranked Paralympian long jumpers on the planet. That's like insane.
That's what we can say.
That's awesome. And joining us here and competing at the Chula Vista Olympic Training Center this weekend, getting ready to prepare herself for the Pan Am Games in August. Yes?
Yep.
In Peru.
Yes.
She gets to go to Peru.
Wait, so you're
going
to go to Peru in August and Dubai in November?
That's amazing.
And then Tokyo next year.
Can I live your life?
It's going to be really hard to retire, Lacey.
But you know
what? You're never going to be able to retire from this. This is the life of...
There's good travel
perks. Yeah, what are you
going
to do for an encore after this?
Lifestyles of the rich and famous here.
I mean, it's good travel perks, but I will say, like, no matter where you go, the track is always the same. You know? There's no surprises when you get there.
Well... Hey, and tell us a little bit about how you know John Silver, who our friend. John is a friend of the show. He's from the Aztec women's basketball team. I know him very well, and he's
hooked us up with some gear too.
He brought us a little Aztec gear, which we appreciate, with the number 19 on it. Which I don't know how he thought of that.
I don't know how he thought of that. Right?
No, he's a clever guy,
John. He
is 2019. You know, I thought it was appropriate.
Oh, I see. Sure.
That's where he
very
was
appropriate.
Ironically enough, in college basketball, you can't wear 19. So,
now, how did you meet Lacey? And you're a Philadelphia guy.
I sure am. Yeah, I'd say was it the 17-18 season, right before we kicked off in 2017? Lacey came out to campus and spoke to the team in our film room. Spoke
the
for
Aztec
about,
women's basketball team.
Yeah. Yep. And she spoke to the team for maybe an hour.
Wow.
Shared her inspirational story. Some girls maybe shed a tear or two, but at the end of the day, I mean, it was just another great contact of excellence in athletics for our girls to have. And for them to draw inspiration on that story throughout the season. So Lacey's stayed a friend of the program, a great friend of mine. We've worked together on some side projects, and it's been a really fun journey so far.
Yeah. The next time you're out there and you're struggling to get up and go for a little run in the morning or something, think of Lacey Henderson out there. She's working, probably.
Absolutely. I've seen some of her workouts. They are no joke, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
Yeah, not every day is a fun day. I will say that. Honestly, competition season's the best. You just show up, compete, and then you go have a margarita. You know, life is good.
Margarita.
At this stage, it's about balance. I mean, yeah, a training day, you wake up, get a little breakfast, head out to the track. You know, you've got a warm up, you've got your workout. It's usually a 2.5 hour type endeavor at the track. So you do it's a lot of sprint, explosive stuff, and then general strength, a lot of ab stuff, med ball stuff. Go home, walk my dog, have a little lunch, and then go to the gym. And same, like, a lot of explosive Olympic-type lifting, heavy lifts, just really, like...
That's two times?
Yeah.
Do you do that twice a day?
Yeah. You do track and gym.
Track
so
stuff and then the gym.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
It's a lot.
Lacey, incredibly inspirational, and thanks so much for coming in. I wish we even had more time. We wish you the best of luck, not just this weekend, but down the road with the Pan Am Games and the World Championships. Take that Italian gal down. Take her down. Bring us back a gold medal.
I'll do my best.
Why not?
I'll do my darndest.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
USA Paralympian Lacey Henderson joining us here live in studio. Very cool. We will take a quick timeout, come back with a final hour of Gwen and Chris. Thank you, John Silver. Thank you, Josh, for coming in as well.
Thank you, guys.
And we're back with more on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Anyway, we are at the point in the week here where the show gets really, really odd.
Meet our producer, Thomas.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Thomas loves baseball. Thomas loves baseball stats.
I love this guy over here.
And Thomas is odd.
I thought he was a bit weird when he arrived.
That means it's time for Odd Baseball Stats with Odd Thomas.
We'll see about that, Pop Spice.
Let's get started, I guess, on 97.3 The Fan.
Absolutely, we're going to get started with some of these odd baseball facts with Odd Thomas. How are you, Mr. T?
I'm good, guys.
Good? Really good. I have one odd baseball fact that I read today, but I don't want to read it off because I'm assuming you have it. But if you don't, I will be there at the end.
All right.
Because there was one really, really weird one that I saw today. But I wonder if it's odd enough for your list. We'll see. Go ahead.
Well, one of the oddest ones, because it's never happened before, was the American League won the All-Star Game this week. So a lot of these facts are about the All-Star Game, and just there's a lot of odd things about it. So it was really interesting to take a look at some of the things that happened. Like, the American League's first three hits of the game came all from Houston Astro players. George Springer, Alex Bregman, and Michael Brantley. It's the first time this has ever happened in an All-Star Game where the first three hits for the team were by teammates.
It almost had to be that way because the whole team was Houston Astros. So.
I knew that was coming.
But it is cool. Brantley drove in Bregman with the first run of the game, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
Off of Clayton Kershaw,
yes.
Speaking of Alex Bregman, he's actually the first player from New Mexico to start an All-Star game since Ralph Kiner in 1950.
From the Kirk!
He's from New Mexico, huh?
Yeah.
Not the University of New Mexico, but just the state of New Mexico.
Correct.
State of New Mexico not producing a whole lot of great baseball players. Ralph Kiner, that's coming way back. 1950. Ralph Kiner was a slugger for the Pittsburgh Pirates, hit 50 home runs a couple times. But that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Good stat there, Odd Thomas. I like that one.
So Shane Bieber pitched a great inning in the All-Star game, striking out the side 1-2-3. Yeah. Wins the All-Star MVP. He was the first Indians player to win MVP since Sandy Alomar Jr. in 1997.
I was about to say 1970. All right. I'm sure he didn't play in the 70s. Dad might have been.
Sandy Alomar,
yeah.
Did.
which actually also happened at Progressive Field, or the Jacobs yeah, Field.
It was the Jake.
So the last two times it's been in Cleveland, an Indian has won the MVP.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the second American League park I ever went to, was the Jake in 97.
Now, is it the same ballpark, but just renovated?
No. Oh, Progressive Field in the Jake?
It's the same ballpark.
Oh. Yes. I thought you meant as Cleveland's Municipal Stadium. I went to a game there. That's how old I am. Before the Jake. And Cleveland Municipal Stadium was so old that they still had the posts coming down in your view. You could be sitting behind a post, like an old wooden post. But they had seats that went on for miles. I think Municipal Stadium held like 80,000 people, and there was only like about 4,000 in there for each game.
When you think Cleveland Municipal, think about Jose Canseco ball off the head over the wall.
That happened there. Yeah.
All right. So Bieber may have won the MVP of the All-Star game, but Aroldis Chapman got the save and Masahiro Tanaka got the win. They become the first pair of teammates to accomplish this feat in the same All-Star game since 2001 in the Mariners. Freddie Garcia and Kazuhiro Sasaki.
Mm. Well done on Kazuhiro Sasaki.
Wow, look at you, Odd Thomas.
Attaboy, Odd.
I'm not making a promo over here.
Yes, you are. You're doing... No, that's right. If you don't mess up, you won't make a promo.
All right.
Good job. By the way, did everybody agree with the choice of Shane Bieber as the MVP? Was there any fallout from that? I mean, so he struck out the side in the fifth inning. Big deal. There was no one else more deserving of MVP than him?
I mean, the easy choice is to pick somebody who got some RBIs, but they do that every year.
Well,
matter of fact, I think you were making that point. That if somebody was going to win the MVP, they're going to come in,
hit a home run, and win the MVP.
Yeah.
So they went another direction.
Like, okay. You know what? Chris is right. Let's go a different
yes,
direction.
Yes, that's what they were all thinking. Chris is right.
Well, one guy we've talked a lot about on the show, Pete Alonso, could have been the MVP of this game.
He could have been.
If the National League had won. But he actually had a stellar first half of the season, accomplished something that no rookie had ever done in an All-Star game, being the only rookie with multiple RBIs in an All-Star game.
The only rookie ever?
Yeah.
Man.
And joins Lee Mazzilli as the only Mets player to have multiple RBIs in an All-Star game.
I got to tell you, Odd Thomas, you are nailing these names. Lee Mazzilli, good one. Got back from my days. Do you remember Lee Mazzilli? Switch hitting outfielder? Pretty good player for the Mets.
I don't remember Lee.
Yeah, Lee Mazzilli was all right. He was all right. I mean, he was an all-star. Good enough to be an all-star.
He was better than all right. All-star is a big deal.
That's right.
All right, and again, we've talked about Aroldis Chapman and Tony's interaction with him at the plate.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Do you guys call each other on holidays to celebrate that?
I had nightmares about him for a
yeah,
while.
Nightmare. So, yeah, I guess
I just now got that away, so I don't want to think about it anymore.
Hell no.
So when he closed out the game striking out, I think it was Yasmani Grandal was the last out of the All-Star game. He tied Fernando Valenzuela as the only pitcher to strike out at least six batters faced in an All-Star game consecutively. So dating back to last year, he struck out three, and then this year he struck out three, so six. So Venezuela did it in 85-86. So
you just made a promo. You just called him Venezuela. You just made a promo. Odd Thomas.
So that was
Fernando
cool.
Venezuela.
Did he create Venezuela?
Fernando Venezuela was named after the Dodgers portly left-hander.
Wow,
and
no
Padre left-hander as well. Don't forget
that. I had
no idea.
Yeah, isn't there a Venezuela phenomenon?
Welcome to the promos.
Yes, welcome to the world that we live in, Thomas.
All right, and then my last one here. I love Joey Gallo because he always gives me a lot of odd stats and facts about the guy.
Yeah.
So he became the third player since 2000 to hit a homer on the first pitch he sees in an All-Star game, joining David Wright in 2006 and Wilson Contreras last year in 2018 to do it. And is also the first Texas Rangers player to hit a home run in an All-Star game since Mark Teixeira in 2005.
2005, 12 years between Rangers home runs.
Listen, I've become a fan of Joey Gallo, man.
Me too.
He has changed his career trajectory by the way he's putting the ball in play now. I mean, he's still striking out a lot, but you can certainly deal with the strikeouts when you're getting the power and about 270 average. The new hitting coach, a good friend of mine, Kalis Crabb, is the assistant hitting coach there. They've done a tremendous job helping him. He credits those guys for the help. And it's shown this year, man. It's shown this year. I'm pulling for him.
All right, so that's my odd facts, but I have a trivia question that I wanted to ask Chris for a little while, but last week we just didn't get to it.
You didn't want
to
ask me? Just wanted Chris. I get it, though.
Why don't you ask Tony?
No, don't ask me. I don't want to get
you're
it wrong.
You're pretty gobble-gobble. You're much...
gobble.
Oh, stop. Scrappy, get gobble. Off the board.
I'm finding all the old sound effects.
Yeah, well... They're old for a reason.
Go ahead.
All right, so Albert Pujols is the active home run leader with 646 home runs. Christian Yelich is the 2019 home run leader with 31. Can you name the last player who finished as both the active home run leader and yearly home run leader?
Can I?
Yeah.
Babe Ruth?
What do you mean finished? Like finished his career?
The season.
So that the yearly season.
Yeah.
He won the home run title, and by winning the home run title, he became baseball's all-time leader.
At the time,
when yes, the season, I got you.
Yeah.
I got to go with Babe Ruth. It's the only one I can possibly think of.
I'm going to say...
Someone else did that?
I don't know who I'm going to say.
He did it twice.
Twice this guy finished a season as baseball's all-time home run king? Henry Aaron?
Mark McGwire.
I was going to guess
that. In 99 too. And 98.
Now, wait a second.
So, in 99, he finished with 522 career home runs and
he
65.
He said active leader.
Oh, active.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. Well, I
that was what was getting me too. But I messed and it that's up. Why I didn't guess him because I was like, Mark, but maybe it's somebody else.
Just trying to word it.
Okay, I got you.
Good job, Odd Thomas.
Good job, Odd Thomas.
Woo!
I have one stat. Do I have time to sneak it in?
Yeah, I guess I
do
didn't
do. Do you
mind
say if yours. I step on your Odd Thomas fact of the day? All right. Get this. Odd fact. The Houston Astros last year set an all-time major league record by issuing only 4 intentional walks the entire season. This year, they are on pace to break their own record because so far to this point in the season, 85 games in, the Houston Astros have yet to issue a single intentional walk.
Wow.
What's an average?
Zero.
What's an average intentional walk in a season for a team?
There's going to be about 800 of them this year. In the whole season. So what do you got? 30 teams, 30 into 800. It happens about 30 times per team per year on average.
Good
math. But the Astros have zero.
Interesting.
That's cool.
And that is something that's probably coming down from their front office and all the way down to the, you know, because it's obviously a game plan that the Astros don't think the intentional walk is a good play. And there's a whole story on this on MLB.com if you're that interested in the intentional walk. But apparently, around baseball, it's kind of disappearing because most teams are starting to get the feeling that it's not the best strategy. Anyway, just thought I'd throw an odd fact in, even though Odd Thomas is the king of them.
Yeah, he is. He
all right,
sure
good job,
is.
Odd Thomas.
I'm just trying to live up to your guys' expectations each
week. They're pretty high. We have high expectations, that is for sure. We're tough to please around here. All right, when we come back, Mark Sweeney will be among our guests as we close things out today, talking about the Padres' first half and looking ahead to half number two. That's as Gwynn and Chris resumes action here after this short timeout on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.